Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today is a special one because I'm joined in the studio by someone who I've wanted to waffle with for a very long time. It's Luke Clark from the Stress Sessions. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I just realised I've just started recording and there's a dog barking outside.
You've added that sound effect in, it's fine.
Yes, a professional setup here. But no, it has been a long time. Like, I think you were probably one of the first people, like, when I first started, that I properly, like, connected with and was just kind of like, okay, there's someone on my wavelength that is kind of, you know, like, you find your tribe. And that's instantly, like, how I felt. So thank you for joining me, I guess.
No, thank you, because I feel like we've had sort of similar-ish paths in terms of we started doing it, I think, during lockdown.
Yeah.
I think you started yours before me because I was a bit like, oh, this guy is doing some good stuff. it's been weird because I feel like we've been talking for, what, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
Ish, 3 years?
That's mad, no idea. Isn't it? Like, even that time frame, like, with considering, like, what the world went through,
yeah,
even from like a personal point of view, like what we went through, it is mental. But I'm oddly grateful for it though, because I think without it, I mean, we wouldn't be sat here having this conversation.
I wouldn't have started a podcast for one.
Wow.
I would have never started it. It wouldn't have been a thing.
What, because of the pandemic?
I started it because of the pandemic. Yeah, that was one of multiple reasons.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wouldn't have started it. The Stress Sessions wouldn't have existed without the pandemic.
Wow. To be fair, okay, we've got a lot to waffle about because I feel like we're very, very similar in that respect. Before we get into the nice stuff or the nitty gritty, some of it might not be that nice considering what we talk about on the show, but I start each one of the shows with something called the Weekly Waffle, which is something that's got on my nerves. But once I've spoke about, obviously, once we speak about it, we feel better. So obviously, feel free to join in. But one thing that has been really winding me up lately is, and I don't know if you've seen these like on social media and stuff, but they're like fake movie posters, and people get so involved and like they're sharing them, and it's like Harry Potter 10, The Return of Voldemort. I was like, that's not real. People get so excited and so like involved, and I'm like, come on. I mean, it's nice, but I'm just like, that's not real. Stop it.
Is it, do people do it like because they think if they share this, if people, as many people as they can share those posters, then they might actually happen, and that
I don't know. It's not like J.K. Rowling's going to see it and be like, oh, do you know what? That looks good. I'm going to do
story
that.
Just about yeah. Voldemort. Yes, please.
But to that, I probably would watch it. Yeah, but it gets my hopes up when I see these kind of posters and I'm like...
See, I've seen a few on TikTok, but I've not seen many.
I probably should stay off social media. To be fair, that's like what all of these kind of waffles come down to. Is there anything that winds you up that you'd like to get off your chest today?
Mine's a bit serious, actually. Oh. I don't know if... Can it be serious?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I should bring it up.
Well, you've started now.
It's something that happened yesterday. So I went to a football game yesterday, and it was my local team against my now home team. So it's Gillingham against Milton Keynes Dons.
Okay.
And I sat with the Gillingham fans because I originate from Kent. I didn't realise how much sexism, racism and just prejudices that there are in football fans still. It shocked me. And I went to sit down and there's this guy just being openly racist behind me and just being homophobic towards the players. And I was just a bit like, is this 2024 or is this the 1980s?
Well, you've gone back in time.
Yeah, and it's a... I mean, that one just popped into my head as soon as you said it because it just... really annoyed me.
No, mate, I completely agree with that. I'm like, I'm not a biggest football fan, and I don't know if I've ever said this properly on the show, but my dad actually used to be a football hooligan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and it was very, I mean, I don't have a lot to do with my dad for various reasons. This we're going deep now. But it's that kind of mentality. It's that kind of like, almost like laddish. I don't know what it is, but it's so toxic and kind of vile. That it's just not needed. At the end of the day, you're there to watch a sport. No one deserves to be kind of spoken to like that or experience anything on that level.
I found it crazy. We moved in the end because I went with my wife. Yeah. It's the first football game she'd been to with me for about 5 years. And it got to I think it got 5 minutes into the match and I just went, should we move? Because this isn't fun. So we moved and it was fine. But I just can't believe stuff like this these days. Because you kind of see a lot of people, obviously for the great reasons they do, still speaking about it on social media. But you know when you sort of think, oh, does that sort of thing still exist? And are people still like openly homophobic or racist? And it just shocked me. So that was the first thing that popped into my head.
No,
and it's a bit of a serious one.
No, it is. But I think it's actually a really good talking point because... I think it comes down to like we said it before we kind of hit the record button about the whole kind of like finding your tribe and like surrounding yourself with people who kind of share the same values and the same kind of like goals as you do. And I think, I don't know if it's something like that, because if you almost do forget it exists, because if you're surrounded with like-minded people and, you know, it's kind of, it is a sharp shock to the system when you think, why are you still behaving like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's... vile.
The one thing that I did find funny though was because this person was sitting or standing for the whole game directly behind us, I was wearing a mental health hoodie and had it underneath my coat, so I was a bit like, I feel quite sneaky wearing this, because if you could see this you would be taking a piss out of me.
Yeah,
so I was just a bit like,
you know, it wouldn't surprise me though, because it's that kind of like older world mentality of like, yeah, mental, yeah, health doesn't exist, or, you know, men can't cry, men can't show emotions, and it's sad.
It's sad. I just found it completely bizarre, and it just really shocks me.
So we connected obviously through the stress sessions. I want to kind of pass it over to you if that's okay, because I would love to hear how it started and how it's directed you to this point in your life.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird one because I hate public speaking. I've always hated it. It scares the shit out of me. I swear.
You can swear. Cool.
It just scares the shit out of me. So I've always completely avoided it for my whole life. And it got to that point in lockdown where I thought, nobody's going to listen to me if I do this thing that I quite want to do. I'm really struggling with my mental health because it's locked down, and I had quite a traumatic experience just before lockdown happened. So it was probably 4 months before I thought of this the idea of doing the stress sessions. And counselling was really hard to get. A counsellor was really hard to get a hold of during lockdown, because obviously everybody was really struggling. Everybody was anxious, depressed, and struggling with their mental health. So I was like, why not do a podcast and get people so that I can vent at them and sort of know that there are other people in my situation and there are other people that are struggling with various things during that point. And I don't know why I thought of a podcast. I have no idea. It just pops into my head because I was like, oh, not many people are doing this thing at the minute. It seems to be something that's taken off. And I just started doing it. So I designed my own little branding and put this Instagram page together and got more of my friends to follow it, basically. And was like, oh, start sharing my mental health stuff. And I started, because from the very beginning, I've always been a bit like, I want to put content out about around how I'm feeling at that current time. So if I'm struggling, you'll know I'm struggling through my Instagram. But at that time, I was doing stuff to try and help my mental health. So I was going on, like, obviously lots of walks, because that's what everybody was doing at the time, because that's the only thing you could do.
There's only thing we were allowed to do at one point, wasn't it?
For an hour. Yeah. It's like an hour a day. And it kind of escalated from there, really. And I did it because I wanted to improve, not my public speaking, but just having conversations in general, because I really struggle speaking to people. I don't anymore as much, but I really struggle just opening up, speaking about anything. I am really crap in social situations. I will be in a group of, I think it's more than like, if I'm in a group of more than four people, I'll shit myself. Like literally.
Not literally.
Not literally.
Depends on the situation.
It's not happened yet. But I started the stress sessions to basically put myself out of my comfort zone and to prove to myself really that, oh, I can do this and I can improve this not skill that I don't have yet. That's a really bad way to put it.
No, but I, do you know what though, mate? I really understand it. And you're probably speaking to the one person who completely gets it from that side of things, because I didn't have a clue really what a podcast was. Like, I've always listened to music. And I still to this day do not know why I hit the record button that first time. Do not understand it. But I think it's a testament to yourself that, you know, you kind of got to this point where, whether it was like your mental health, that you just like, you know what, well, I need to give it a go. Because it was like, almost became like the alternative was like a hell of a lot scarier than what, you know, people are going to think of me if for putting out a podcast. And I think we're both kind of sat here now, like, from both sides of the coin, like, so grateful just from sharing a story.
Yeah.
Just from kind of like opening up, like, yes, obviously I know it's scary, but it's obviously, it's paid off. How were you feeling when you were going to put out that first episode?
Very scared. Very, very, very scared. Because I was putting it out to an audience that didn't know any of that at all. And in some cases, it was very close friends. So I'd only ever spoken about my mental health to my wife, my family, like my wife's family. And that was it, really. One of my friends knew and that was it. But nobody knew. And I just thought this could go very badly, because people could think, why is he doing this? Why is he putting himself out there like that? But I think the reaction that the first episode got, which was with my wife, recorded on my phone. Literally, there was a phone on a stool. It was mental, right? It was in my old house, and I literally just pressed record on my phone. There was no like headphones, there was no mics, nothing. It's just literally like the voice recorder on your phone. I think it was that spring, and there was like a really hot spell during that year, and me and my wife were basically just sitting there in our underwear recording this podcast. Just like,
have you ever told anyone that?
No, literally, never.
Because I imagine if you said that, if like people took that out of context, to if they heard that and then actually listened to the podcast, it would be a completely different experience, I guess, to what they were expecting.
And so at the very beginning as well, I started calling them like about a situation that happened in that episode. So that first episode, my wife went for a wee midway through the podcast. I was like, the one with the wee. It's just really stupid. But I did that to sort of take the shine off of the mental health aspects, and that it's not all going to be entirely serious. There's going to be some fun stuff in there as well.
But that's life. And yeah. I think this is why I respect you, your journey, like the podcast, even like when you like showing like your vulnerability, like on like your social posts, is the fact that it's this kind of, there are ups, there are downs, but there's this real nice kind of in between that is life, that it does have funny moments. Like, and I think that's why it kind of sets you apart from a lot of other kind of like podcasts out there, because it's kind of, it's just you, like 100% you, just talking about the good, the bad, like the stuff that gets you through that. And you can have a laugh on the way. It doesn't have to always be kind of like this doom and gloom when it comes to mental health. Don't get me wrong, obviously there is a lot of doom and there is a lot of gloom.
There's a lot.
Yeah. But there's also kind of like a lot of, there is a lot of good, and you know, it is difficult to see it sometimes, but it's nice to kind of see it and like kind of hear other people talk about that, because it was something that I really struggled with. And like, it made me nearly not want to talk about it at all, because it was that, like, I don't want people to know that I was struggling. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. But then, I mean, I wouldn't be sat here having this conversation with you if I didn't kind of like get out of that kind of headspace and kind of that push through that kind of fear, I guess. And I guess the same kind of like with you, from what I'm getting, is there parts of you now that has looked back and be like, I'm so grateful I did that? Have you took that moment to kind of look back?
Yeah, there's been parts. The biggest one for me is, I feel like my Instagram is, it just documents the last 3.5, 4 years or whatever it's been. So I can literally scroll back and be like, I was really struggling at that point. I was having a great time at that point. But it's, when I look back now, if I wouldn't have started this, one, we wouldn't be speaking now, but I wouldn't have taken decisions in my life that have hugely improved it. If I wouldn't have started speaking about mental health, I wouldn't have stopped drinking. I wouldn't be sober now. I wouldn't have helped myself do things that I do now that I hadn't done before. And or even like this now, again, go back to this again, I wouldn't have met like so many amazing people along the way and had such great conversations, like good and bad conversations, but they've been amazing conversations that wouldn't have happened and wouldn't have helped people had they not happened. And I think when you do look back and reflect on it, you kind of think, that's really cool to have been a part of and to have had such a positive effect on my own life, but also other people's lives as well.
Mate, it's incredible. Honestly, like, I have so much respect for it. One of the things that I've picked up on my journey with the podcast and even with my mental health, from these kind of conversations, I've picked up on like coping mechanisms and what works and what doesn't work. Obviously, I know the podcast and obviously the platform that you've kind of, like the incredible platform that you've created, like obviously I imagine it is a coping mechanism. What other coping mechanisms do you lean on when things get a little bit heavy?
Mine's mainly sport things. So running is the one thing that I know I can always go back to, because you can just get away from yourself, I think, for a bit. And whether that's running on your own with your own thoughts, you can listen to music, you can put some really amazing inspirational music on to get you through that run, or you can put a podcast on that can get you through that run, because you're just listening to other people's lives. Running for me is like the one thing I can be like, yeah, that I know will help me. And I can think of only one time over the past 4 years where running hasn't helped me. And I don't know why it was, but I was out and I was just listening to, like, I can't remember what the band was, but I was listening to music and I was like, oh, I'm not feeling this music, and it was like making me run badly, and it just put me in a bad mood. And for me, that was the point where I was like, do you know what? You can have coping mechanisms that work at that time, but then you might have to mix it up from time to time. For me, like running, I know will work, but it's on the odd occasion it might not work. So you always have to have a backup. So then I started exploring other things like cold water swimming.
Which works, by the way. Yeah. I tried it for the first time in the summer, so the water probably wasn't as cold as what you're used to.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I mean, I only have to look at your Instagram sometimes to get frostbite with those ice baths and stuff that you do. But it works. And for someone who is I love swimming. It's always been like my sport. There's something weird about it being in like open water and just feeling almost like an element of freedom with it.
Yeah. Before we start recording, my voice keeps going. Before we start recording, I said I like to play games with stuff and test myself. So for me, yes, cold water swimming really helps my head, but it was like another test for me because I sounds really stupid, but I'm really scared of open water swimming.
So you can't, but you don't know what's down there.
No, this is it. So I went on holiday. When was it? It was probably about 10 years ago now. And we swam with dolphins. And I hated it so much. I really hated it. It was really scary. And these two...
Yeah. Have you swam that's like bucket list moments. Yeah. Some people like, hated it.
Have you swam with dolphins before?
No, I don't know what's down there.
Exactly. There you go.
No chance. So,
you have to swim out into open water. And by this point, I was already crapping myself because there was loads of other fish in the water, which obviously there's going to be. But there were these fish, they were probably like a foot long, but there was thousands of them around you. So already I was thinking, oh, this is not for me. Got told I'll go and swim out 100 metres or whatever so that these dolphins can swim under you, lift you up and chuck you up in the air and all of that. But basically it got to this point where these two dolphins in tandem were swimming below me. Their silhouettes were literally like, I don't know, just dark silhouettes. And I just thought, I can't do this. It just shook me. And they just came up beneath me, pushed you up with their noses on your feet and threw you up in the air. And that bit was actually quite fun. But I think the reason why I don't like open water swimming is because when I was a kid, have you been to Disneyland before?
Yeah.
So you know in Typhoon Lagoon, they've got the snorkeling thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is this going to be like a bonding moment?
No, it is going to be a bonding moment.
So I think I was 9, so I wasn't like very young, but I was younger than 10, which I think you're still like a kid. And I got near the end of this snorkeling thing. I was like, oh, there's loads of little fishes, there's little sharks, that's fine. Like, they're not going to hurt me. This fuck off huge fish just appeared below me. It was like twice the size of me. Probably exaggerating. But it just appeared. And I just shit myself. Like, not literally again, but like,
I was going to say, there seems to be a lot of shit in these stories that you're telling, Luke.
But I was petrified. And I was just like, swimming. And I'm okay at swimming, but I'm not the best. I couldn't win. I couldn't beat anybody in a swimming race. I can swim. That's about it. And just since then, it's just really scared me. So going open water swimming for me is scary to even do it, let alone getting in cold water.
I respect it though, because you kind of, it's that element of like you're pushing past the fear and doing it anyway to get those benefits.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It is interesting you said about the whole kind of like snorkeling thing. The first time I ever experienced a panic attack was when I was swimming with fishes.
No, really?
And it's really embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. Having panic attacks isn't embarrassing. But I captured it on my GoPro.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and I was in Thailand. I was swimming away. And there was people on the boat and they were throwing chunks of pineapple into the water, obviously to make the fish come closer to you. And I was kind of like on my own, like, and I couldn't see because of like the fish that was like all there. And I just remember it, like swallowing like the biggest amount of water, and I just freaked. And then I could not, when I got back on the boat, I could not regulate my breathing. And obviously I'd never really spoken about it until the whole podcast thing came about. And then obviously then I knew I'd experienced my first ever panic attack and nearly drowned because of fish.
They're horrible. Why are they there?
Why? What is the point of them? One of the things I do want to talk to you about is sobriety. Like, we had a quick catch up before we hit the record button, and obviously you're very open with your journey. Like, you share a lot of like good insights in terms of like why you started, how it's going, how you kind of stay sober. I've been toying with the idea for quite some time because obviously we talk about like mental health and stuff like quite a lot, and obviously you recognize what affects it in a negative way, and alcohol is one of those things for me that I know for a fact, like 2-3 pints, I know for like a day or two after, I'm feeling like a certain way that then almost I notice like a bit of a spiral. How did your sobriety journey start?
I initially went sober in 2019, but that was because I was training for a marathon. So I don't know why I decided to do it. It's one of those things where I went all in and thought, oh, if I'm doing a marathon, I'm going to get a good time and give up drinking. So that I decided for, I think it was 4 months of that. So it's either 4 or 6 months. I can't remember now because it's a little while back, but can't remember back 5 years ago. But I did it then and did it for 4 to 6 months. And I was like, oh, this is all right. But then as soon, literally, I finished the marathon, went to, it's in London, so the whatever BrewDog was closest, and just had a pint to celebrate. And then the sobriety was broken. And then for the next 2 years, just continued to drink and didn't really think about the negative effects that it was having. And there was one that the point that I got to in those 2 years was I started to notice through my wife, because she was a bit like, a lot of people probably be able to relate to this, but if you're partner or wife, husband, whoever is drinking heavily on a night out and the other person isn't, they'll be like, oh, maybe you need to rein it back in and have a water or have like a soft drink or something like that. And I'd be like, no, I'm not having that. I'll have another drink. And it got to the point where we were on holiday in Corfu, and it was an all-inclusive, so obviously you just drink for the whole time, and that's the main part of being on holiday, isn't it? For most people, is just going out and getting drunk. And it wasn't even a night out. It was like a night in the hotel, one of those evening entertainment things they put on. And one of the people that worked there was like, oh, we're going to have a few drinks at the bar, and then we're going to go and find, there's an old hotel nearby that's been abandoned. We're going to go and have drinks there. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. So
This is not where I thought this story was going. Let's get to buckle up.
So I was like, why not? And by this point, I was pretty drunk. And I think my wife was drunkish too, but then she's always quite, she knows her limits. She's sensible in that respect, because she knows when to stop and I didn't. And it got to the point that evening where we went off with this group of, I think, about 10 people, and I wandered off. And I think me and my wife had an argument about something, whatever it was at the time. And I don't know what happened. There was that period that night where I think it was between 11 p.m. and whatever time I walked back into the hotel room. I have no recollection of it at all. Wow. And I don't know who I spoke to. I don't know what I did. The hotel was on a cliff, so I could have killed myself, walked off a cliff. The one bit I do remember is waking up in a bush. I slept in a bush near the hotel, probably like 100 yards away. So I didn't wander that far. Yeah. Literally, I was on the floor, so all my legs were just completely bitten to death, like by bugs. And I walked back in the hotel room, knocked on the door because I didn't have a key. And my wife was, I just went, oh, what happened? And then she went, what, do you not remember anything? And she was like, you had a psychotic episode. So I'd had a psychotic episode that I don't remember to this day. While I was drinking that evening, that was why the argument had happened. And it just got to that point where that was kind of the, it's kind of a bit like, oh, I should probably stop now. I didn't stop at that point. And I think it took another like 6 months when that sort of situation happened again. And I was a bit like, I'm putting my life at danger by putting myself into these situations where I'm blacking out, I'm not remembering what I'm doing. I'm affecting my relationship with my wife, and like, I'm very happy with my wife. I don't want to be doing stuff like that. So it just got to that point where I woke up in a Coral bookmaker's doorway, passed out. My wife had to pick me up, literally pick me up off the floor. And since that day, I haven't drank.
Wow.
And I said it earlier with, if I wouldn't have started the podcast, I wouldn't be here now. If I was still drinking, I don't know if I'd be here now, because I kept putting myself in dangerous situations. And for me, I can't go back now, because I've seen so many benefits from it, and I haven't almost killed myself again. So it's quite a dark sort of story, but it's
also quite an inspiring one at the same time, because I think there's almost a stigma when it comes to sobriety. Like, people always seem to think that it has to be like, it stems from like alcohol, like alcoholism, mm-hmm. and all those kind of things. Whereas it can just be something as simple as it just doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if it was leading to those kind of episodes and putting yourself in danger, other people around you in danger, like, it's obviously the right thing to do. Have you experienced any kind of like stigma? Like, if you're in like a social situation and someone says, oh, do you fancy a pint? You're like, no, I'm sober. Like, have you experienced that personally?
Not with people I know, because since I've stopped drinking, I've been very upfront about it. So yeah. I've always made it clear that I don't drink anymore. And at the beginning, I struggled because I didn't like saying that. I didn't like saying I don't drink anymore, because then that's attaching it to a promise which you're then sort of holding yourself against. And now I like it, which is really weird. But not from people that were directly around me, but I have had instances where people have been a bit like, oh, what's the point of that sort of thing? Both of them were when I went on holiday. Both of them were when I was drinking alcohol-free beer. One was an alcohol-free beer. One was, I got a mocktail from a bar in Bali. And both times the person was a bit like, oh, why? And I just went, because I don't drink. And they just seemed miffed by it. And I completely understand, like, in some circles and some cultures and different groups, like, particularly in the UK, there is that stigma of, oh, we're going to go and get pissed. Yeah. We're going to go out and just forget forget all of our problems, because that's why people drink sometimes. It's to forget their bad thoughts and feelings. And I've never had it. I think because I've been so upfront about it with people around me, it's never been really questioned.
Yeah.
And the one time that for me was the worst time straight after I stopped drinking was we spent, I think it was Christmas Day or Boxing Day around my wife's aunt's house. And I literally hid this pack of 4 alcohol-free brew dogs in their fridge that I brought with me. And I was so paranoid about people seeing it that were direct family, which now looking back on it just seems mental, because I'm a bit like, why should I have been scared of that? Yeah. Like, I should have owned it. But whereas now I'm very upfront about it. I don't care. And if somebody says, oh, why don't you drink? I'd be like, well, my go-to thing is, because I've almost killed myself. And then it's like, no questions asked after that. Yeah. So
that'll stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, no, I haven't had many people like go against it.
Yeah. But it's an interesting one, because like a few episodes ago, I had James from Geordie Shore on. And obviously that almost at a time promoted drinking culture and just kind of like drinking to like excessively and stuff like that. And he was saying a very similar thing. Obviously he's not sober, but it just kind of got to a point where it just doesn't serve you anymore. Mm-hmm. And if it's anything, like regardless if it's alcohol, people, relationships, jobs, if it's kind of affecting your mental health in a way that doesn't kind of like it, which isn't positive, then you have every right to kind of step away from it and be like, no, like it's, I think it's actually quite a remarkable and inspiring thing to do. And it comes back to that, like, but the same with the coping mechanism. It's like, you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. If it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's your journey. So we talk about music a lot on the show, and you raised actually a good point earlier on when you were talking about like when you were going on like the run, and there was like a song, or you can't remember like the band or anything, but it almost like had a bit of a negative kind of effect. I love hearing the songs and the albums that have kind of soundtracked people's lives. And obviously with you doing marathons and like being a big fan of like running, is there a song that kind of really gets the blood pumping?
I'll say it's 2 artists.
Oh, okay.
Because these 2 artists have got me through marathons, half marathons, so many runs. And so it's Pendulum and Chasing Status.
Okay.
Because one, because they're very good artists to run to, but there's certain albums. So for me, it's the Chasing Status one with it's got All Goes Wrong on it and Brixton Briefcase and songs like that. It's whatever that, I can't remember what the album's called.
I know, but I can see the album cover.
It's with the bulldog on the front. Yes. Of it. So that album for me is like the pinnacle of my running.
Running journey.
I'm a professional runner.
But to be fair, if you looked at your Instagram, like, there's not many people that can do, like, how many runs with, like, Bewitched. I think there's not many people in the world that can say that.
That was a bit of a wild time. That's wild.
But, Joel, I love, though, hearing these kind of songs and stuff, because they're always, like, really, like, eclectic answers. And, again, it's that thing, like, if it works for you, it works. I love that. Is it, like, Tarantula by Pendulum?
No, so it's the... Oh, I remember that one. So it's the In Silico album.
Yeah.
And so it reminds me, we're recording in Coventry.
Oh, okay.
No, so basically...
Oh, now we're recording.
Yeah, we're recording here.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I was like, what? I know that.
When I was at uni here, we, in the first, it's Freshers Week, and Pendulum performed at our Freshers Week. And I didn't really listen to Pendulum that much until then. And then went to see them and I was like, these are amazing. This is a completely different sort of music to what I've listened to before. And I think it was that first year they brought out their new album, because that's like what they were there to promote, In Silico. And that album is insane. It's just mental. I just remember in my last half marathon that I did in December, my last 3 songs were from that album, and I put them on early because I did a stupid thing when I'm running, thinking, oh, a marathon's only 22 miles or 24 miles, and a half marathon is only 12 miles. They're not. They're like 13.1 and 26.2. So I con myself.
I didn't know that.
So I literally con myself every time I do those distances. So these songs came on. So I thought, oh, I've only got this distance to go. Didn't. So then I had to replay them. And I was like, it's fine. I love these songs. And they literally do keep you going. And like it hasn't failed me yet. So
love that.
That In Silico album. Amazing.
Okay, you know what I'm going to be running to later. On the flip side of that, is there a song or an album that kind of puts you in the feels? Like if you're having a bit of a heavy day that you just kind of need to let maybe like a little bit of emotion out, is there any songs or albums or artists that do that?
I don't know. There's one song, but I can't remember what it's called.
Sing it.
It's a rap song, so I can't do that. I can't rap. There's a song on the, to Run the Jewels.
Okay.
Who are an American rap duo. Their latest albums, I think they don't actually have album names. It's just like Run the Jewels 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's just like very generic. But it's the last song on the latest Run the Jewels album. I think it's called Pulling the Pin, maybe. I think it. But that it's a really sort of slow builder. And it's not like any of their other songs. And I always, again, I love running to it because it hits me in the feels, because it relates to why I started the stress sessions, and that kind of horrific experience that I had before that. And it's nothing in the song that directly links to that, but it makes me think of how I felt at that time. So when I hear it, I'm like, I've come really far on this journey. I can do this. I can finish this run. And it just gives me that extra bit of motivation when I'm listening to it. It's a weird one because it makes me feel a bit sad, but then it pumps me up to keep going. It's a really weird one, but like I just love that song because it feels like it's my journey song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're speaking my language with this stuff. I feel very similar with Sweet Nothing, Florence the Machine and Calvin Harris, because I feel like that song feels like it almost shouldn't be a dance song, but for some reason it fires me up in a way that not many of the songs kind of can do. You mentioned lyrics and obviously them kind of like soundtracking and kind of almost telling your journey, which leads me very nicely into the final segment of the show. It's time for Sing It, Sack It. Is it a hit or are they talking shit? So this is called Sing It or Sack It. So we're going to dissect two songs that, quite frankly, are either anthems or not anthems. I don't know where I was going to think of something fancy to say. But some of the lyrics sometimes don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And they could be like the biggest songs in the world, but I'm like, I don't quite get that. And the first one is Coldplay Fix You. So very emotional song, one of the most famous songs in the world. But the lyrics go, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you. Now, I don't know how I feel about this because I love the song. I'm a big Coldplay fan, but it's the I will try to fix you bit. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm just saying this from like a personal journey point of view, that sometimes we can get so lost in trying to fix other people that we don't realise like how kind of like broken we are. Mm-hmm. So I love the song, but I think I'm going to sack it. What are you saying? What do you think?
Yeah, I talk about this quite a lot, and I feel like my thing is always concentrate on yourself before you concentrate on other people. So I would sack it purely based on that, because you have to be in a good headspace and personally feeling good to then be able to then reach out and help other people, I think.
No, I completely agree. There's a reason, isn't there, why you put your own life jacket on first, for this exact reason. So I'm sorry, Chris Martin, but
Coldplay, very good as well.
I love it. This one, I feel like I know how I'm going to feel about this one, because it's doing the rounds at the moment. It's doing very well. And it's Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, which in my opinion is an anthem. But I was doing a bit of digging on the lyrics, and it says, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. Drench yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. straight away I'm singing it because I love it. But I kind of specifically chosen this song because you were here. Not because I'm like I'm going to invite Natasha Bedingfield in. I mean, I wish that was the case.
I love Natasha Bedingfield.
You're the kind of person that we kind of got to a certain point and it was like something needs to change. And it was that kind of that this song just embodies that for me because it's like, you know, the rest is still unwritten. Like you can kind of write yourself off regardless of what you're going through. It could be the most dramatic situation, traumatic situation, or even something that, you know, you might not want to talk about, or it could be anything, like regardless how big or little it is. And you can kind of like throw in the towel a little bit. And it's this song for me just kind of reminds me that there's a long way still to go. Like that doesn't have to be like the end of the book. Like that could just be the end of a chapter, and it's more than okay to kind of write a new one.
Yeah, I think, again, we spoke about this before we hit record, and it's like you've told your story to a certain point, and it's fine to stop telling it at that moment in time, but then it's also okay to come back to it and add to it, like you just said. I think, yeah, you summarise it perfectly. But yeah, I love the song anyway, so it's a great
absolute
song.
Banger.
Yeah.
And now Daniel Bedingfield is back.
I saw that.
I know, bought tickets.
He's looking good as well. I saw him, I was like, he looks better than what he did like 25 years ago.
No, like, what'd they do it? Yeah. Luke, you've been an absolute legend, honestly. It's been a long time coming to like waffle with you, and genuinely, like, there's been days when my head's been all over the place, and I've seen one of your posts, and it's just been that little reminder for me just to be like, okay, I've got this. Like, I know how bad it seems right now, but I know it does get better. So thank you for joining me. I have one last question for you, and that if there is someone listening to this who might be having a bit of a tough time of it at the moment, what advice would you give?
It's really cliche, but it's just to keep going, because there's lots of people struggling, and there will always be lots of people struggling. And I've been at the bottom, so I sort of can relate to how people might feel if they are struggling at that point in time. Everybody's got their own circumstances. Everybody has different thoughts and feelings, but it's, if you're feeling really bad at the minute, you're at the bottom. You can only go up. So keep going and speak to people, because like we've just shown, like we've shared our own stories. Speak to people, because people are there to listen, and it might not feel that like that at the moment because you are in a really difficult headspace, but there is lots of people. And if you don't have that person or people that you can speak to, there's great charities out there. I'm not gonna name all of them because there's loads.
All incoming.
Yeah, incoming. And all go and see a professional, because like I've had to do that lots of times. I'm not ashamed to admit it. There's lots of amazing counsellors, therapists out there. Just pick up the phone and speak to somebody, because like you shouldn't struggle in silence.
You are brilliant.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. Where can people find you on social media?
So I'm at Stress Sessions on Instagram and TikTok very, very sporadically. I try and use TikTok, but it doesn't really work for me because I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, Instagram.
We're in our 30s now. Like,
you know, you're just a bit like, this is a new thing to learn and I can't be bothered. I only just about understand Instagram. No. So yeah.
I'm just about to use a phone. You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.